Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Ephesians in our Bible, chapter 1. If you're following in your pew Bible, that'll be page 1133. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity and with the purpose of his will in glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Now this morning we've read hymns of praise, offered first in the poetry of Psalm 24, which Bob so ably read. Then in just a moment ago, as we read the prose of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Now, even though these passages have been translated from their original language, Hebrews and Psalms, and then, ancient Greek, Koine Greek, for Ephesians, there is a musical quality in these words. Think about this passage from Psalm 24. Listen to this. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, O ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. It flows. It has a little punch to it. It's beautiful. Even in the English translation, we get the sense of what the poet, King David, was trying to get across. Now listen to the prose of Paul. See if you can hear the music in this. Paul says, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has given us in the one he loves. And that has a real flow to it, a beautiful flow. And what I'd like to propose to you this morning is that, like the psalmist and Paul, each of us offers God our own music. Though we may not do it through poetry, like King David, or the prose that the Apostle Paul uses, we do it in our own way. And that's the way God designed us. He didn't give everybody a wonderful voice. He didn't give everybody a poetic mind to write down beautiful phrases in English. But he did give gifts to each and every one of us that resonate that harmonize with everyone around us. In worship, I get to experience it because I stand up here and I hear you all singing. I can actually pick out voices. I've sang in enough choirs that I can tell who's singing what, and it's all beautiful. Don't ever be self-conscious because God gave you that voice. In our devotion, there is a certain, I've talked to a lot of people about their personal devotional life, and I've seen every part of the spectrum. I've heard some people work on praying to God ceaselessly. So as they're driving down the road, they're praying. As they're in the grocery store, going around from aisle to aisle, they're praying. Now other people say, no, they do it a little more formally. They do it in the morning when they get up, and then maybe at evening. That's okay, they read their Bibles. And a certain rhythm comes out of this, and a certain pitch comes out to God. The same in prayer. Now nobody likes a lot of people do not like to pray in public because they're afraid they're going to be stumbling and whatnot. Well, some of the best prayers that I've ever heard have been stumbling, hesitant prayers of people who are in desperate need of touching God and being touched by God. And then oftentimes in fellowship, as we were out here a couple weeks ago celebrating our meal out on the lawn out here and having a good time just being with each other, there is a certain melody that comes from that, a certain beautiful harmony that is expressed there. Now there is a problem that individually sometimes our music to God can lose its focus. Let's face it, life happens to us. Sometimes you don't feel like singing. Sometimes you are devoid of whatever seems to be a rhythm in life, and you get thrown off base. Life can become discordant, and other things suddenly take precedence over praising God or interfering with our praise of God and our feeling of knowing God. Thinking about this, I was reminded of a story that I read by Robert Fulghum. He's the one who wrote the books about All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in the Kindergarten. Probably familiar with him. Great writer, tells a lot of really wonderful experiences. And one of those experiences that is one that moved him very greatly, and I want to share it with you this morning. He said, for many years, he traveled to the tiny town of Weiser, Idaho. Now, Weiser is virtually unknown. I had never heard of it until I heard him talk about it. But then once a year, Weiser is invaded by people from all over the country and all over the world because they hold the Grand National Old Time Fiddling Contest. Now, Fulghum plays a banjo, and so he goes to this fiddling contest year to year to enjoy that music that is shared there. He writes that for many years, the fiddlers who attended were pretty straight country folks. If you've ever gone to some of these gatherings, that's generally true. There's a group of fiddlers out there who are very straight-laced farmers or tradesmen. They wear their hair short. They don't attend competitions on Sunday because they go to church. These are straight-laced people. But what Fulghum began to see was that a few years ago, a new breed of fiddlers arrived. Many were long-haired, came in their old Volkswagens that were painted in psychedelic colors, etc. There was another group who were heavily tattooed and they wore leather jackets and arrived on Harley Davidsons. Now some of these strange-looking people he came to find were wonderful fiddlers. And Fulghum wondered what the old-timers would think of these new fiddlers. So we asked one of the old timers what he thought about the new crowd joining the competition. And the old man said, "I don't care who they are or how they look. They can have a bone in their nose as far as I'm concerned. It don't matter. If you can fiddle, you're all right with me. It's the music that counts." That resonated with me. It's the music that counts. Our scripture texts both express the same principle, which is this central theme for the life of God's people. It's the music of our worship, our praise, our service to God. You don't think that there's music when you go and look in on a sick friend, when you bring a casserole to someone who had a death in the family? There's a music there, and God loves to hear it. There are so many things that demand our attention and distract us from the main focus. Fulgham related that he was playing the banjo beside an older Weiser policeman, and they were picking away at an old-timey tune, and the policeman turned to him and said, "You know, sometimes the world seems like a mighty fine place." I really, really relate to that sentiment. Because sometimes in the midst of worship, or sometimes when the church gathers for a meal, or maybe when I'm working alongside church folks, helping others. Now, many here have been on the mission trips that this church does. There's a certain wonderful music that happens when you get together with God's people, doing God's will, helping people out. And I often want to say, when I witness these things, you know, sometimes the world seems like a mighty fine place. Ever have that feeling? Now, the Apostle Paul, before I get too far, I want to talk about, okay, what is the content that we're acting out, that we're expressing when we praise God, when we worship? Well, Paul gives us a real rundown on the content of things that we are praising God about. I'm just going to go over some of them. Paul says that before the world was ever created, God chose us, first of all. You are chosen. You are special. God knows your name. God numbers the hairs on your head. We often feel that we choose God, but indeed the scriptures say that while we were yet sinners, God chose us. We can thank God as a great conductor looking for just the right instrument to play in his symphony. You may not feel very special in your skills and your talents, but God chose you. God chose you specifically because of the music of your praise, of your service, of your work in his kingdom will play a vital role in the overall symphony, his masterpiece. Paul then praises God for the redemption accomplished through the sacrifice of Christ. Who of us has not felt that same kind of praise? He cites the blood of Christ as the instrument of our forgiveness, that in Christ God revealed the mystery of God's attitude and intention for his creation. God intends for all creation to praise him. Now, those of you who studied the old the Children's Catechism, remember the very first question of the catechism. Well, is the chief end of man? Or, you know, what is it that we are supposed to be about? And that's to enjoy God and praise God forever. That's not those exact words. Paul relates that not only has God chosen us, redeemed us through Christ, but he has endowed us with an inheritance in Christ. We inherit heaven itself. Think of it. The streets of gold. The mansions that Christ is preparing, they're ours. They're our forever home. It makes you appreciate why we like to sing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." I mean, I've never seen a song that is sung with so much zest in a congregation. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. We have inherited heaven itself through Jesus Christ. And now a kind of down payment on our inheritance is the gift of the Holy Spirit, something that we see and enjoy every day. Paul refers to the Spirit as a spirit of promise, given as a pledge of our inheritance, in order that our redemption might be made complete. Think about a song that comes to mind for that one is, "Be Still My Soul." Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. And there's many other instances where the praise of God becomes what we're about. And that's what I was talking about when I say, as I hear, and as you hear, your neighbors in this gathering each Sunday, you might also have that thing, that feeling inside. You know, the world sometimes seems like a mighty fine place. And don't we need that kind of feeling? I mean, the world can be cruel and difficult and hostile at times. Isn't it great to come into what is called a sanctuary, a place away from all of that, where we can tune our hearts to the Creator of the universe and let our harmony be pleasing unto God. To Him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Even the least musical of us has to appreciate that You have set us in this world, brought us here for Your purposes and to complete Your wondrous symphony. May we play our part. May we fulfill our role. And may our love point others toward the love of God and Jesus Christ. We pray this in His holy name.